Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms
and conditions. 18 plus. Starting preschool is a big milestone for toddlers and for parents. As with any big life change, it's important to help your children make the adjustment as well. Today, we're talking about these tips to ease your child's transition to preschool and also to ease your anxiety. I'm Geneva Lee.
And I'm Dim Anderson.
We are preschool teachers, and this is Parent Savers.
Faster than a speeding toddler.
Sit still for just a minute.
Can soothe boo-boos with a gentle kiss.
Would you get down from there?
Able to clean poopy bottoms in a single swipe.
Oh, what did you eat?
Turning frazzled mommies and daddies into procreators of peace and harmony.
Ah, quit touching me.
It's Parent Savers, empowering new parents everywhere.
Welcome, everybody, to Parent Savers. We're broadcasting from the Birth Education Center of San Diego. Parent Savers is your online, on-the-go support group for parents with infants and toddlers. I'm your host, John Ariel. Happy to be back in the saddle of Parent Savers again. Thanks so much to all of you who join us every time a new episode is released, and also for those of you who continue these conversations with us on Facebook and Twitter. Make sure to check out our Parent Savers app so you can listen to all of our episodes wherever you go. We also just released a new network app where you can listen to all the New Mommy Media podcasts. Visit our website at newmommymedia.com for more information. And for even more information right now, at this moment, we've got Sunny, the head of everything at New Mommy Media, telling us more about how you can become involved with the show.
That's right. Okay, so we have some segments I think you guys will really like. We have an Ask the Expert segment where you guys can submit the questions that you have regarding your infants and toddlers. So it could be anything, you know, like a doctor would answer. We've got doctors that can answer those types of questions. We have psychologists. We have everyday parents that can help out. So you can submit via our website, and you can also submit via our Facebook page. And we have another segment that I really love called our Parents. Parenting Oops, and that's where you guys share your funny stories of crazy things that have happened to you as a new parent, and we can all kind of have a little chuckle about it. So we'll put those on the show, and same thing with your Ask the Expert questions. We'll have our experts answer them. We'll put all of it on the show so other parents can benefit. Again, you can submit through the website, through Facebook, and then we also have our voicemail. You can leave a voicemail so they can actually hear your voice if you actually want to ask the question, and that number is 619-866-4775.
The voicemail seems so old school, but it's awesome because we get to hear it in your voice.
Nice.
And you can throw it right in and you can hear them saying it as opposed to me, my daffy voice.
reading your question.
So I know it seems weird to leave voicemails in this day and age, but it's awesome and something we hope you guys continue to utilize. Thanks for doing it. Let's also look around the room, and I can see everyone that's here, but let's introduce you to everyone that's having this conversation about the preschool transition. Myself, I'm Johnner. I'm 41 years old. We have three boys, an 8-year-old, a 6-year-old, and a 4-year-old. So the 4-year-old is just wrapping up preschool. But this is definitely something we went through with all of them. Sunny?
Okay. So, yes, I'm Sunny. I'm the owner of New Mommy Media, and I am 37 years old, I'm pretty sure. And I have 4 kids. My oldest is 5. He did go through preschool and now just started kindergarten. And my 3-year-old is currently in preschool. And then I have twin girls that are 22 months. And, oh, man, I don't know what I'm going to do with them in preschool. So they have not started anything. They are home with me throughout the day.
Hi, I'm Alicia. I'm a mom of 4. I work full-time. I've always worked full-time, so all of my kids have had to go to preschool. I have my last one just started about a month ago at age 3. My other children, I have 2 girls, 10 and 8, and the boys are 6 and 3.
They got to go to preschool. They get to go to preschool. It's not a had to. It's a, they get to, right?
It's
That's
a
part
privilege.
Of what we're going to talk to you about. That's
yeah,
part
exactly.
of what we're going
to
talk about.
Yeah. Some of them got to. One of them has to.
Got it. And then Geneva and Dinda, why don't you guys tell us a little about yourself?
Hi, I'm Geneva Lee, and I work at the University of San Diego at the Manchester Family Child Development Center. I've been there for 15 years. I also have 2 children. My son is 34, and my daughter is 21. I had a great experience with one of them in preschool, the other one not so much. So looking forward to chatting about that.
Thanks.
Dimna?
Sure. My name is Dimna Anderson. I'm 47 and also a mom. Oldest being 18, 17-year-old, 16-year-old, all boys, and an 8-year-old daughter. They all went to preschool. 8-year-old daughter got to go with me. to the wonderful Manchester Family Child Development Center. And yeah, it can be a challenge starting preschool. That whole transition's kind of big.
Going to preschool with your mom is a whole other episode.
Not so fun.
That's what my last one wants. Right. He wants me to switch and become a preschool teacher.
Of course.
Right now.
Smart kid.
Great. Well, thanks, everyone. We're looking forward to the conversation.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Before we jump in, we're going to do a news headline, and this is where we're going to take a look at a recent article and just sort of, I think, kind of talk about it, see what we think, see if it was worth our time to talk about it. Hopefully it was.
Johnner's not too sure.
Yeah, no.
See if it makes the cut.
This is about preschool toys. And so they say the preschool toy market is coming back, and it's actually it was the largest toy category that was most affected by the recent economic downturn. With the economy improving, they're saying that we'll see a return to growth, but not necessarily a complete correction. Worldwide sales of toys, typically for children between 2 and 5, have been going down since 2011. And it's important because it represents nearly 15% of the $100 billion global toy market. And so what this article is saying is that they think that parents were realizing that one way to save money without really hurting anyone was to cut back on the toys given to the littlest of kids. The parents found their two-year-olds didn't care whether a toy was $50 or $5 because they would play with it for about 30 minutes. And I would even say with that, if they were lucky, 30 minutes.
Right.
And then focus on the box, the paper, the ribbons before pulling the tablecloth. And so parents are going down the price scale, which really affected the preschool toy market. But they say it's making a comeback. But what have you guys' experiences been with preschool toys recently and buying them for the young kids?
I tend to not buy them for that age. What my kids have is what they've gotten through birthday presents and such, or Christmas presents.
Right.
I don't typically buy toys. I think what people may have realized after the economic downturn is that they weren't necessary.
Yeah.
And so as the money came back, they figured out, like I mentioned, crayons, paper, construction paper, and those like kid scissors that make fancy things. My kids can play with those for hours. And like you said, ribbon and stuff.
Right.
You give them anything that's like buttons or something they can glue onto something else.
Yeah.
They do not
beads,
need $50 toys.
Yeah.
Yeah, coloring books. Did you say coloring books? Those are huge
crayons,
in my house.
Yeah.
Crayons, coloring books, yes. Things of that sort.
See, those things always seem good in theory for us, but then they get a page or two into it and then they...
Really?
Yeah, then they just start wrestling.
Maybe it depends on
blank
the
paper.
Yeah. Blank paper.
Blank paper.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what we always did. Coloring books, we had the same thing. They would love them in the store. They're only $1, so you buy it and you get home and they do the first two and then everything else is the same characters. But plain paper, they can go for hours on.
So the toy companies are probably mad that we're figuring this out.
Oh, yeah.
This revelation we've just had.
The price of construction paper is going to skyrocket.
Right.
So basically,
Crayola
what you
wins
guys
in the end, really.
You've all already discovered that open-ended materials serve children better than a pre-cut plastic toy that doesn't even fit anywhere in your house.
Interesting. Yes.
It doesn't fit anywhere in the house and it only fits in one particular type of play as opposed to others that have much more broad uses, more inexpensive, less expensive. They're less expensive and more stimulating for the child.
And readily available.
Quit spending big bucks is what
although
I'm taking.
It is tough. Sorry. Like, no, well, on the, like, you know, the younger end of the scale, if we're talking about 2 to 5 year olds, you know, my twins are 22 months, so they're kind of at that 2 year old stage. And like, I wouldn't give them crayons and paper just to play with. Right. So there are
give them pots and pans from the kitchen.
Right. I could do that. Could do that.
Yeah.
But like balls and stuff like that, like anything that I've bought has been definitely, I've had a really think about it as being like some sort of developmental skill. What developmental skill are they going to get out of this?
Right.
You know, and you know, if I thought it was worth the money, then I paid for it. But otherwise, I just try to keep it as simple as possible.
You have a great point on balls. We have balls of every size in our house.
Yeah.
Those never leave.
Right.
Another thing is people realize you can have 50 toys for your kids and they're going to play with three.
Sure.
So if you find those three that they want, that's all you need.
All right. Well, we'll put a link to this article on the site. And if you guys have some thoughts about the preschool toy market, let us know. Or leave us a voicemail message.
Yeah, know. So we can hear you. Before Shopify, were you wondering, where are my sales at? Now you're selling with Shopify, the global commerce platform supercharging your selling. You have no problem selling online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Gary, easy on the cha-ching.
Oh, sorry, but my Shopify sales are through the roof.
Start selling with Shopify today and discover how millions of businesses around the world use Shopify to ignite their selling. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen. Shopify.com/listen.
Today on Parent Savers, we're talking about helping your toddler make the transition to preschool. Our experts today are two amazing preschool teachers, Geneva Lee and Dibna Anderson, from the Manchester Family Child Development Center at the University of San Diego. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So let's start. And I should probably say that for our two older kids, for all three of our kids, they've been through Manchester. It's actually a bittersweet sort of reunion today because our youngest is in his final year of preschool. And for convenience reasons, we've moved him to a different preschool. And it's sad and we miss him and he's missed his teachers. And I'm very excited to speak with them. And I know they're great experts and very loving experts. So really excited to be talking to you guys.
Thank you.
So let's start with talking about the transition. What do you guys see every year and things that are the hardest for parents and for kids making this transition?
The hardest thing is for parents letting go and letting their children free, setting them free. It's not an easy thing to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think what that falls under the category is of trust. And not only do we have to communicate with the child and make them feel safe so that they trust us, we have to do the same thing with their parent as well. If their parent's uncomfortable leaving you, I think the child is going to sense that and can create some kind of an anxious environment during drop-off.
So in very high-level terms, do you think that the transition's harder for parents than it is for kids?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Like, without a doubt.
Yes. Without a doubt.
Yes.
And so we do things like have podcasts and talk about it and fret about it and bite our nails.
Well, and I think, and as Dibna says, the most important thing as a parent is you need to be ready for this change. And you need to know in your heart that this is where you want your child to be. Because if you're not, the child will sense it and it will not be an easy transition.
Right, yeah. Right. In fact, one of your questions here is talking about what to do before entering preschool, classroom mm-hmm. visits and such. Tour as many schools as you possibly can because it's like buying a house. One of those or two of those are going to hit home.
Yeah.
And, you know, you got to get your educational philosophy and your discipline philosophy in your head so that when you do go to these schools, you know exactly where you stand as far as how to teach and rear your child. They're going to be the partners in
right.
your child's formative years.
And the preschool teacher's most likely going to spend more waking hours with your child than you are. So you want to be sure that you're making the right choice and that you're comfortable with that choice.
Yeah, but I think that's also, I don't want to scare parents either because it is the reality of the situation, but I think we like to not think that.
Right.
Right.
Of course. Of course you don't.
We like to not acknowledge that reality. So I think it's the balance, and it's interesting that a lot of the preparation needs to be done for the parents.
Yes.
So ahead of time. So as parents have made the decision that the child's going to go to preschool, and I mean, we could even get into the benefits of why preschool is important. And,
right.
you know, I think that a lot of people are if they're afraid of it, there's great socialization aspects right. to preschool. There's great benefit to being around other kids, being around other teachers,
right.
being around other experiences. So once that decision's made, so start with touring as many preschools as possible?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
And so
there are so many out there available mm-hmm. that each school is going to have a specialization in something you will see, whether it's art or play-based or ABC learning, that kind of a situation. And it depends on what you want. And then there are also preschools that are also just daycares. So mm-hmm. if you are looking for a daycare, that's a totally different ballgame.
What would you say is the difference between a preschool and a daycare, just to be clear?
A daycare is a place to drop off children and be in a safe environment with some supervision.
Mm-hmm.
A preschool is an enriching environment where you're paying money to help educate your child both socially and academically as well as, you know, physically, emotionally, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
So, in my experience, preschool is very structured. Daycares right. don't have that structure. My girls went to a preschool that was a preschool in the morning and then a daycare in the afternoon, and they only had to go during the preschool time, but it was very interesting to see the transition of the school from preschool to daycare between the two. We did have friends who stayed all day long, and it was completely different worlds.
Right.
Interesting.
But I think Geneva had a great point. When a child's that age, they've spent all of their life so far with a parent or maybe a family member. Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. And so it's hard to then make that transition and hand them over to someone else that, you know, you've built this relationship so far with the other people, and then you hand them over to someone. I had the same thing. My children were either with my husband during growing up or my in-laws.
Right.
And preschool was very difficult on my side to find that right fit. I had right. to find something that was going to be perfect, that complemented our parenting style, our home life, correct. And things like that, exactly. but still gave them that enrichment that we were looking for.
Exactly. Classroom teachers really make the program. You know, a committed classroom teacher is going to portray the school's philosophy and their goals. So getting to know that teacher is very important. Know, there should be a cultural mm-hmm. understanding between the two, mm-hmm. and as far as the objectives and goals of why their child is there and what they're hoping to see, it should definitely be agreeable.
And so as parents are looking at preschools, are those sort of like interview questions that they might want to ask the director or the do you guys get access? You don't really get access to parents before they've decided to go to the preschool that much, right?
Well,
that's more through like a different level, right?
For our center, you need to get on the waiting list before you even come in for a tour. We need to know that you're serious because we have a right. waiting list.
Which is probably a good sign for any preschool.
Right.
It has a waiting
not
list.
Not always.
But not always.
But not
so
always.
Some of it's self-fulfilling. Okay.
Well, and like Dimna says, you've got to find what you're looking for, and then you got to go out there and look for it. And it's very important, I think, for us, for those children to come and meet us
yeah.
and see us before we're ready to take care of them for 10 hours a day.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so that's what we do. We set up so at our school, you go, you get on the list, then you get a tour, then you decide if this is, in fact, where you want to be. Pick your start date. We usually start at the beginning of the semesters because we are a university school. Some preschools just you can go whenever mm-hmm. and start whenever you need to.
Yeah.
And then bring the child in for a visit at least two times.
Right. Once you're even committed to that
yes,
preschool.
Once you're committed.
Come and do a visit
right.
and stay with them.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Stay with them, visit with them, get to know the teachers, get to know the kids. We send emails a lot, pictures of the teachers, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. Just to get everybody to feel more comfortable. And I think it really helps the transition.
Yeah.
That's the advantage that siblings have. Siblings who are there to drop off.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Always. Familiarity with the exactly. center.
Usually better.
Usually. Yeah. Yeah. But usually not better. Always.
Right. And, you know, with every beginning of the new year, there's going to be one anxious child and one anxious parent. And sometimes they're not related. So you've got to be ready. You've got to be ready to be able to hold someone's hand, make them feel comfortable, and be available during drop-off, because some parents, they don't know how to, do they hand their child off? Do they get their kid situated in a chair and involved in an activity and sneak off?
Yes, I want to dig deep into the drop-off
okay.
segment in the second part of the...
one thing I wanted to mention when researching schools, the best thing to do is from your parent group. You usually tend to become friends with parents their parenting style is similar to yours.
Mm-hmm.
So ask them what they recommend or what their friends recommend. That's how I found the best preschools for my kids.
Nice. And so then as you're getting ready and the decision's made, so what do you guys, in addition to classroom visits, what do you recommend parents do with their children? You know, say it's 2 weeks before preschool starts. What is their time to do or get them ready? Should they talk about it a lot?
Absolutely. No, you don't think so?
Okay, so we have two different opinions.
Absolutely. Sure.
I think that because of the children's, I don't want to say they're not capable of understanding the concept of time and when, but 2 weeks is a long time for a young child who mm-hmm. doesn't wear a watch to wait. That's almost like 6 months for
it's
us,
like
I'm thinking.
5% of their lives.
Right. So when you're going to have a transition like that and all is said and good and parents are comfortable, talk to them maybe 2 days before the school start date.
Yeah, I think so.
You know, or even the morning of, and hey, guess what? We're going to go look at this new school, and you're probably going to be going to school there every day.
And I think, Geneva,
so you want to come with me, and we'll start together.
Maybe 2 weeks is great, but the preparation is sort of the same. Talk to them about it ahead of time.
What I'm thinking is, Okay, you have your visits. Okay, the next time.
Sure. What I'm thinking is, okay, you have your visits. Okay, the next time you come, you're going to stay here all day by yourself. Yeah. You've met all these people. So it doesn't even have to necessarily be, okay, 2 days, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever. But the next time you're here, you're going to stay all day. And then I'll be back and get you. And you know, and we'll talk more about the...
But they need to be in the loop. It feels like kids are in because they're in little control of so many things that they do need control of whatever you can give them.
But the time frame, like you say, they don't know 2 weeks, 3 weeks. But the next time you come, you're going to stay.
I've
experienced that some children think that they have a choice about their preschool. Whether they want to go that day, whether they want to go at all, whether their parents have to work, why they have to go to school, et cetera, et cetera. So when I understand what you're saying about involve them in the loop, but you really need to think about how much.
Yes. Yeah.
I agree with Dimna in if you're doing the visit, I wouldn't say anything. I would just say, hey, we're going to go to this group thing today and let them kind of experience it. And then later on, talk to them about how it's a possibility that they might be going there. As school, but for the visit, I would treat it as a play date.
And I think each family is individual. You have to do what works best for you and your family and what you think will work best for you and your family.
Yeah, definitely. But I think the key is that it's not a surprise that on that first day you're leaving.
It's not a choice. They hate that everything's not a choice. Yeah. So just making it seem like it's a choice helps.
Yeah, do you want to wear this to school or do you want to wear this to school?
Exactly.
There are some kind of control. You know, the reality is there are some life decisions that have to be made that are just going to be, and the children need to learn to trust their parents, that their parents are going to find that safe, enriching environment for them. Just like when a child is scared at night in the dark, you have to reassure them that I'm your parent, I'm here to keep you safe. I would never put you in a place or a home that's not safe, even at night.
Right. But I think, but to be clear, we're not talking about dropping them off in the scariest street in the neighborhood and leaving. We're talking about preschool, which for my kids at the very least, has been an amazing experience. Right. And we're so glad for them to be a part of it. So I think we're talking about preparing them and it's scary and it's letting go. But a lot of what is scary is the feelings around it, not the amazing opportunities they're being exposed to.
Right. And I'm still reassuring my 10-year-old that I'm not going to put her in unsafe environments. So do that until they are on their own.
Right. All right. So let's take a quick break. We're going to talk, then we'll talk a little bit about the what to do on that first day. And then also like as it goes on. And I think the drop-off question is a huge, huge question that parents mismanage, I'm sure, all the time. And so
parenting oops.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Right. Lots of parenting oops around preschool drop-off, I'm sure. All right, so we'll be right back.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome back, everybody. Today, we're talking about the preparing your child for the transition to preschool with Geneva Lee and Dimna Anderson. Welcome back. So we've talked about getting ready and preparing the kids and looping them in or doing some visits. But now it's the first day of preschool. It is the first day where the child's going to be dropped off. What do you think parents should do to prepare? How do you think it should go? How does it go best for you guys?
The first thing I ask parents is to really think about the type of ritual, the goodbye ritual they want to establish. Will they have time every morning to sit down on the couch and read a book with their child? Do they want to do that every morning? Or is it most likely, I'm going to have to drop this kid off and run because the class I'm teaching is starting in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So you need to think about how you're going to do it, how you're going to enter the door, put the things down, and let the teacher know what your plan is.
Okay.
That way, if you do have this child that might need extra help saying goodbye, she's right there.
Right.
And you might not always have time for a morning ritual. So, you know.
But if you can, it's good to.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Every morning should be kind of a little bit
the same.
Right, a routine. Kids thrive
on routine. We all thrive on routine.
Yeah. And so on the first day, don't do something crazy weird, like sit on the couch and read with them for a half hour.
Right.
If you're not planning on doing that every day.
Exactly.
Start establishing how it's going to be.
Right.
And so then the drop off.
Okay.
I mean, is there a type of drop off you recommend? Is it one of those that it's everyone's different? Would you rather see it like a military mission? Everyone in, out, barrel roll.
People parachuting.
Disappear.
In.
Parachute in. Disappear. Covert. Or, you know.
Always say goodbye. Never sneak out. Never sneak out. This is the whole thing we've been talking about all along is trust. Your child needs to trust that you're not going to sneak out. You're always going to be back. And, you know, they may be sad when they're coming in. Okay, I know you're sad. It's going to be okay. Your teacher's going to take good care of you. I will see you after work. I always come back. So just
and
be
then,
firm. And then.
But then water
here
works,
you go.
Right?
And here
then,
you go. Then you and, go, you know, right? My personal experience, I like to make it quick.
Yeah.
Because the quicker you make it, the easier it is. Some parents might not feel comfortable with that. And that's where the parent needs to communicate with the teacher.
But
how do you want to do this?
So tell us from your side of it. Because when we drop off kids and they're crying and we leave, we don't then see what the rest is going on. So what usually happens?
What usually happens?
When a parent leaves and they leave their crying kid with you.
On the first day of school, a teacher's probably going to do some hugging and distraction. She's going to try to get that child to read a book with her. Back rubbing, a lot of comforting while distracting and pointing out how the environment's actually nice and safe and it's going to be okay.
Reassuring and acknowledging those tears. Yes, you feel really sad. Your mom's going to work. You're going to be with me all day. I understand that makes you sad, but we're going to have a good time and I'm going to take good care of you.
And do they turn it around pretty
quickly?
They
turn it around very quickly. It's all, most of the time, it's for the parents. You know, they just, it is, it really is.
Just last night, we were doing something with some friends and they observed Zyler basically whenever he thought he had my attention.
Sure.
When I didn't have it,
right,
he would calm down and then look like they saw it in action and it absolutely happened.
Right. And what I see is if a child does start crying and the parent's already walking back out the door and comes back in, you're basically reinforcing the behavior that you don't.
Right.
I don't want to say you don't want them to do. You don't want a kid to not ever cry, but
it's just going to make
you want to have that child feel confident rather than insecure at that moment.
Yeah.
Because if you hear the crying and then you're coming back, that's just showing, oh, if I keep crying, they're going to come back. You know.
Right.
Yeah, whereas the best thing as a parent to do is to make that break, go where you need to go, and give us a call.
Yep.
Okay.
Give us a call.
That's what I just experienced.
Yeah.
Just check in. But like you said, I think just acknowledging their feelings from the teacher is huge. Another thing I think is funny, I don't think parents realize that teachers, like, you go through this every start. So this is not new to you. Parents tend to think that they're the only ones in that situation. They're the only ones that attached to their children. They're the only ones that their children that attached to them. So just parents having that open mind that you know what you're doing. You've dealt with this hundreds of times and to, you know, hand it over. Like you said, as
you
long as they built that trust, then you can do it.
Yeah.
My three-year-old just started preschool a month ago. He's the only one that had a problem, but luckily my older son had gone to the same preschool, and so I have full trust in all of them. And I kind of went to the teacher and said, what do you want me to do to make this happen? And so she gave me some pointers and I followed those instructions, and about half an hour after I left, she texted me a picture of him playing, biggest smile on his face. So
yes, nobody wants to say goodbye ever, so it's going to be difficult.
I still have an issue with my three-year-old. So he for the last 6 months has been going to preschool. But at first he was going with his brother. So before his brother started kindergarten, they were going together a couple days a week. And they weren't exactly in the same class, but they were close enough and they played together recess time and whatever. So he kind of felt comfortable with that. The moment that my kindergartner went to kindergarten and it was just, you know, my three-year-old at the same preschool, but by himself, drop-off has turned into this just crying fast. And it only happens for like 2 minutes and then he's fine. But do you have any advice for parents? Because it breaks my heart all the time. But I know I've got my ritual that I do and I don't break from it. And, you know, he knows that I'm leaving and I kiss him goodbye. But I do not draw it out.
Right.
You know, it's, you know, he knows I'm going to leave and he knows I'm going to pick him up in 4 hours. Like, it's not that big of a deal. But any advice for parents that are struggling with that, you know, it's not going away, that separation anxiety.
It sounds like he's created this as part of your goodbye ritual.
Oh, great.
It's part of the
it's gone on for 6 months.
Yeah.
And he thinks that he has to do this every time to say goodbye. So maybe one day when he's not crying yet and you're in process of going to school, oh, you know, it's so great that you're not crying. Mm-hmm. You know you're going to be safe.
Yeah.
You know you're going to have fun. And I know you can handle this. And maybe today, if you don't cry, you'll actually have more fun because then you won't have a runny nose and your eyes will not be tearing up. And do you want to give it a try?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, a little confidence and positive reinforcement. Yeah. Whenever a child behaves in a way that you like, right. you let them know and, right. and keep praising that.
Sure.
And the other thing that I do as a teacher, because this will happen with kids that have come to what that have been coming for months and then all of a sudden they're going to start this new thing, is, you know, when you're sad like this and when your mom has to go to work all day, it makes her really sad too. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah. the and, guilt trip.
Right.
Like it.
And, you know, it works. It's some
more
of
like,
them.
It's more like, you know, how you can help your mom is if you don't cry.
Yeah.
Because you know you're okay.
Right.
We know you're okay. She knows you're okay. So let's make it better for her tomorrow so she's easier and she doesn't have to say goodbye to her crying baby.
Yeah.
She knows that you love her.
Yeah.
But let's give it a try not crying, and she'll have an easier day. And maybe she'll come back earlier from work with more time to play because she didn't have to think about you crying and worry about you crying.
Right. Right.
Give them the guilt trip.
Yeah.
Either way.
I like it.
And they're old enough to understand. You'd be surprised how much these kids understand.
Sure, sure.
So we talked a little about communication and the phone call, and that like you got the phone call and the text. What are you guys seeing, I mean, especially now with – how are you communicating with parents? Are they sending you emails? Are they texting you? Are they calling you? Is it a combination? Does it change parent to parent? What's the state of preschool communication today?
All of the above.
Yeah, and is it pretty constant?
It is. We are currently redoing our manual to not text parents because it was starting to get a little out of control.
There was a lot of texting
going
on.
So the parents... to get in touch with us, email. We always look at our email every day. Mm-hmm. And call the front desk. There's always something, someone in the front office that can run and check on your child or ask your child's teacher to come talk to you. But in this day and age...
I would imagine that's probably happening in a lot of preschools all over the place is dealing with a plethora of texts.
Yeah, we've actually had to, you know, stop that because it was getting too out of control.
Right.
With the teachers. You know, we're with your kids. We can't text you all day long.
That's exactly why I've never texted a preschool teacher.
Me too. I thought about that too. I'm like, no. They're way busy. I'm not going to go down that road.
My need from you is to be taking care of my child, not answering my text.
Right.
And I've always felt like I was not doing something right by doing that, but I go at pickup and I check and say how they do today or I'll send an email saying how have things been going, you know, but I cannot bug someone throughout the day that's trying to take care of my children.
Right.
So we've actually had to go that route. Mm-hmm. But email works great.
Which goes to your phone. So it's almost like receiving a text anyways. And then you know that, oh, this parent's a little uncomfortable. I better go check in with them in 10 minutes when I have a free moment.
Yeah.
I like that idea of calling the front desk. Mm-hmm. They can say, I'll just peek in and make sure.
Sure. Yeah, they do that.
It's a good idea.
All right. Well, thanks so much, everyone. Thanks to Geneva and Dimna for joining us.
Thank you.
Or if you guys want to learn more about Manchester Family Child Development Center or other preschools, visit our website, newmindmedia.com. We'll have just a couple links from the show. The conversation will continue afterwards for our members of our Parent Savers Club. In our bonus content, we're going to talk a little more about preschool and all the love that these teachers have to give, which I think is so amazing. For more information about the Parent Savers Club, you can visit the members portion of our website.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
All right, so as promised, we are starting a new segment on Parent Savers, and it's What Up With That? And it is where...
What Up With That?
What Up With That? with that. And it's where your kids do something and you are just baffled. You're just like, there's no reason that my child should be doing this. And so it's just fun to share that with other parents because we don't get it. We just don't get it. And so I'm going to kick it off with one of my favorite what up with that moments. And it is when I go in and I see my son loves to play with the iPad, and we have the YouTube Kids app on it, which really they should monitor that a little bit more because there is a lot of stuff on there that I'm like, what up with that? But the biggest thing on there that drives me crazy is when my kids watch the videos where I swear all they're doing is unraveling plastic Easter eggs to find out what the prize is. And my sons, both of them, will sit there like it is. And then they want me to go buy Easter eggs. And it's like Halloween time. I'm like, there are no Easter eggs out there.
Well, but so what is in these videos that like they're opening?
It's like little toys baby toys.
Like junky little toys.
The junky, stupid little toys. Sometimes they get the really, really big eggs, and there's actually some decent stuff in there. But seriously, it is a 10-minute video of unraveling eggs. And my kids will just stare at it, and I want to know, what up with that?
What up with that?
What is up with that? I mean, do your kids do this at all?
No, they get into some really silly things. They haven't gotten into the eggs thing. But I'm thinking that maybe we have a bunch of Easter eggs because you're getting all these Easter egg hunts and stuff.
We should
just fill them with crap. Do your kids want
to videotape it and put videotape it on YouTube?
Yeah, and then send it to your kids.
I am telling you what. These videos, no joke, have millions of downloads.
I don't get it. I don't understand it.
I know. What up with that?
What up with that? That wraps up our show for today. We appreciate you listening to Parent Savers. Don't forget to check out our sister shows, Preggy Pals for Expecting Parents, The Boob Group for Moms Who Breastfeed, Twin Talks for Parents of Multiples, and Newbies for those going through it for the first time. Thanks again for joining us. This is Parent Savers, empowering new parents.
This has been a New Mommy Media production. The information and material contained in this episode are presented for educational purposes only. Statements and opinions expressed in this episode are not necessarily those of New Mommy Media and should not be considered facts. While such information and materials are believed to be accurate, it is not intended to replace or substitute for professional medical advice or care, and should not be used for diagnosing or treating health care problem or disease or prescribing any medication. If you have questions or concerns regarding your physical or mental health or the health of your baby, please seek assistance from a qualified healthcare provider.
New Mommy Media is expanding our lineup of shows for new and expecting parents. If you have an idea for a new series, or if you're a business or organization interested in joining our network of shows through a co-branded podcast, visit newmommymedia.com.
Grand Canyon University makes earning your degree possible with over 130 academic programs for traditional campus students, with more than 80 bachelor's programs offered online. GCU provides you with the personal support you need, from complimentary unofficial transcript evaluations within 24 business hours to scholarships, academic support, and your GCU graduation team, led by your own university counselor. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Hey mamas, don't forget to check out Mighty Moms. It's our online community built for new moms just like you. Not only can you connect with other moms, but you can also join us backstage for special mom-only online events. And you'll also be notified when we're recording so you can join us as a special guest. Visit our website, newmommymedia.com, and click on the Mighty Moms banner. It's free. That's newmommymedia.com. See you there.